Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gamper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited. Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you. And that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman. Tons of sports news to talk about as the Chicago Cubs just finished their press conference announcing David Ross as their new manager. We'll find out from Mike if that is a move worth betting on. In keeping with baseball, I remember last week Mike North saying that the Astros would come back after their deficit to the Nationals, and guess what they have? We'll find out today if Mike thinks it's going to end in six games or go seven. And of course, we've got to talk about the NFL and those Chicago Bears. I'm sure Mike is going to be in a great mood to talk about those losing Bears. So let's find out how he's doing. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Aldo. It's another great day. I mean, it's Monday. It's a little brisk outside, a little cold as far as our sports teams are going, especially our Chicago Bears. But it's not cold at Vegas Scores and Odds, ladies and gentlemen. Had a tremendous weekend. Right now, the last 7 days, Denny Macklin, 16-7, Mike North, 18-11, nobody else even close. We're battling neck and neck. We got a lot of other great handicappers here for the free pick line, 1-866-504-2201, 1-866-504-2201. And then guess what? You'll get everything that you need to have a successful week. The last 30 days, MLB 13-7. All sports, the last 30 days, I'm 52-38. We're getting the job done. Great type of handicappers like Mark Franco, Denny Macklin, John Anthony, Tony Sacco. I mean, some great, great people. They know what they're doing. Bryce Bell, the odds father. So having the time of our lives, picking winners. Had a great day yesterday, going 5-2 in the National Football League. Also with Bears Barroom and the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, 3-0 to go 14-10. I told Aldo, don't worry, when I was 5-7, this is like a baseball season. Last week I have Ottawa, winner. Denver basketball under, winner. Houston University, Thursday, winner. So 3-0, 14-10 overall. Make sure you keep listening. People I hear that are listening are people that don't follow me, Aldo, or Vegas Scores and Odds, Bears Barroom, or The Odds Couple, or any of the other vehicles I go on. If you're following me, you're winning. Aldo, back to you.
I'm winning just because I'm associated with you and doing this show.
Oh, we're going to win more. I just got off the phone with my buddy Ronnie, one of our bosses over at Vegas Scores and Odds, does a tremendous job. All those people over there, Smitty, all the other guys, Mo, great people. They're very happy. Things going well. So you know what? We're bringing in new things when it comes to podcasting, when it comes to advertising, when it comes to trying to make Vegas Scores and Odds a destination. It's not easy because of the darkness that people that don't know what they're talking about cast over sports gambling for years. As we know, it's going mainstream. Chicago will probably be the last to get it, but
yes.
Guess what? It doesn't matter. We're going to eventually get it, and people around the country are listening to this podcast right now. That's why we do the show early at 1 o'clock on Monday, and, of course, 3 o'clock on Wednesday. They're very happy.
Yeah, that's great to hear, and thanks, many thanks to Schmitty, Ronnie, and Mo. That sounds like...
Somebody said to me, what's their last names? I go, Schmitty, Ronnie, and Mo. How's that?
That's all you need to know.
That's
awesome. Well, Chicago Bears fans want to know a lot more than Matt Nagy might be sharing in some of these press conferences, although he did talk at length about the closing part of the game and the decision not to run some more plays and get the field goal attempt closer for Eddie Pinheiro. What's your thought about that? Do you think that Nagy made the right decision in playing it safe and taking a knee on second down and getting Pinheiro out there to try a 41-yarder?
No, he didn't, and I'll tell you why. I was worried about the miss beforehand. And if anybody says they had full confidence in Eddie Pinheiro before he went up there after missing one earlier, and by the way, 41 yards, listen to this. He went up against analytics. That's what Nagy did, because the least successful field goals this year at a 75% clip have been from 40 to 49.
Wow.
That means one out of every four kickers, three out of every four kickers makes the field goal from 40 to 49 yards, but one out of every four misses. So the odds were better if he got it to 30 to 39, or listen to this. Even better, according to the stats, if he got it to 50. That's the bottom line. He went against the least. 75% of the kicks from 40 to 49 have been successful this year. 25% hadn't, and Eddie Pinheiro added on to that. And if you gain 5 or 10 more yards, he makes that kick yesterday. Bottom line is, he didn't trust his offense. He said it after the game, and he's got a Wonstead quality to him. Even though, I don't talk like this. I don't talk like Wani. But he really makes Wani look smart. Now that we're seeing him in a bad situation, you always look at people, how they handle the bad situations, because it's always easy to handle the good situations. Last year, he looked like a genius. This year, he looks like he's the kid that's been left back in third grade for the third straight year.
This is Matt Nagy yesterday after the game. He immediately, at the very beginning, started talking about that decision. And this was him being very, very adamant that he never gave any thought at all to running or passing the ball in that situation to get the ball closer inside the 40-yard field goal mark.
They know you're running the football, so you lose 3-4 yards. So that wasn't even in our process as coaches to think about that.
No thought of throwing it there either?
Throw the football?
Yeah, I mean, just to try to get a little closer.
throw the football right then and there. What happens if you take a sack or there's a fumble?
Lose the game.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So, no, there was zero thought of that. I'll just be brutally clear. Zero thought of throwing the football. Zero thought of running the football.
Mike, doesn't it sound like he just has no confidence? I mean, to say they know you're going to run the ball, so you're going to lose 3 or 4 yards. I remember Vince Lombardi diagramming plays on a chalkboard and telling them, we're going to seal a guy here, we're going to seal a guy there, and we're going to run up the lane. He told everybody what they were going to do on the sweep play. Now Nagy is afraid to run the ball because he anticipates it's going to be a 3-yard loss. Is that crazy?
It is crazy. The fact that, first of all, I see teams throw with under a minute left. So for him to poo-poo what that reporter said about throwing, what are you, crazy? It happens every week in the National Football League in close games. Are you kidding me? I mean, what would he have done if they were on the 50 and there was 44 seconds left and he had to get into field goal range? Was he going to run the ball? He would have had to throw the ball. So for him to be afraid to throw the ball says he doesn't have any faith in Trubisky. Also, he doesn't have faith in the rookie running back, not because the rookie running back didn't play good football, but because he's never been in this type of spot, in this type of situation in the pros.
Uh-huh.
Now, I understand that, you know what, you got Tariq Cohen, but the running game to me, to just move forward and gain 3, 4, 5 yards would have made the field goal. Mark Potash sent out a great tweet before we went on the air. Let's see if I can find it here, because what he does is he unnerves things. And you know what? It's one of these deals where Mark Potash said, Leah, that this year, it says here, how much of a fumble risk was there? When the Bears had the ball at the Chargers 21 with 43 seconds left, in similar situations from 2015 to 2019, final minute, needing a field goal to tie a win between the opponent's 25 and 15-yard lines, teams have rushed 48 times and had no fumbles, none. And this guy's afraid to give the ball to a pro running back in his system because he's afraid he's going to fumble the ball. Or he didn't have faith in Trubisky. Or he's afraid Trubisky. This guy's not going anywhere. This guy's not going anywhere. I told people after the Oakland game, when they came out flat, I told Aldo.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't even 3-3 yet. I said, they're not going to the playoffs. I meant it. I said it. And I'll stick by it. Because Theodore Roosevelt said this, and I took this quote yesterday. I was on a tweeting binge like everybody else was yesterday, by the way. My God, I saw everybody. I got reacquainted with everybody about that. But Theodore Roosevelt basically said that if without you trying, you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. You got to want to try.
That's right.
He didn't want to try. He took the knee like Trestman did 3-4 years ago. The same thing happened. They missed the field goal, and they lose the game.
I'll give you one. Wayne Gretzky said, you'll miss every shot that you don't take.
Right. It's unbelievable to me. And really, how much is the star of Matt Nagy fallen in the last 2 to 3 weeks from where he was?
Yeah.
Think about where he was.
Coach of the year.
Last year. Yeah. Think about where he was at the beginning of this year,
right,
and now think where he is. He's gone from being one of the top coaches to being one of the maybe 5 or 6 that could be let go at the end of the year. And if you think I'm kidding, folks, think again, because he is a guy out of water who doesn't know how to handle the press. He basically threw his team under the bus without even realizing it. I don't have faith in my running game. I'm going to also throw this at you. Last week, Aldo and I were having fun. We were going back and forth. And Aldo likes to hit me with some zingers every so often, like the Sean Kemp for Pippen thing and all this other stuff.
Me?
But, yeah, which is fine, you know, and I love it. But here's what Aldo said last week when I brought up Jordan Howard. And I said, Aldo, don't you think Jordan Howard, hey, people forget all the passes Jordan and fumbles Jordan Howard had last year. You know how many fumbles Jordan Howard had last year, young man?
Yeah, one.
One!
Right.
In 250 carries. Now, I'll give Nagy credit for this. He's starting to come around, and it helped Montgomery yesterday. They ran Montgomery the same way they ran Howard last year, out of the eye. And I know it had to kill Nagy because he said he wasn't brought here to run the I formation. And I said, you weren't brought here, okay, to throw the football all over the lot and become Mouse Davis. So, you know what? He's got to find a nice balance. But it sort of like hurts him. He feels like he's hurting his own personal reputation if he's handing the football off because he fell in love with the genius grip and the way the season went last year, don't you think?
I agree with you. And today, at today's press conference, the questioning continued about his decision not to try to advance the ball to get it closer for Pinheiro. And at one point, this is what he said.
We were so close to getting that win. Regardless of what goes on, regardless of how you won or how you lose, you win yesterday, you get that win, and this stuff we're talking about is a lot easier to talk about. I think we're talking a lot more about the growth of the offense and less about what to do on that other play at the end of the game.
Does he make a point there, Mike, that, you know, none of this would be that big of a deal if the guy makes the kick, you know?
Well, yeah. Let me state this, too. If this had been Cody Parkey, he'd be getting ravaged. But see, Cody Parkey was the scapegoat last year. This year, Eddie Pinheiro, there's no mention of him. You're right. If Eddie Pinheiro makes the kick,
right,
we're not talking about this. But the head coach's job is to put his team in the best position to win. He didn't do that. He, with 41 seconds left, and you know what scared him? Because he screwed up the clock at the end of the first half, and they almost didn't get the points because the clock went down to 1 second. He lost track of the clock. He doesn't have a clock in his head. He doesn't know how to manage a clock, from what I saw in the second half and in the first half. In the first half, he almost blew it by not getting the points. In the second half, he left too much time on the clock and decided to take the knee. So he's got a lot of weaknesses that he has to address, but there's no doubt Eddie Pinheiro missed the kick. If he makes it, we're saying today, they sucked. They didn't deserve to be this close. They should have won this game by 3 touchdowns. I still think we would have been very critical of the Bears, even if they had won. But the loss does a couple things. I think it really makes it hard for us to get into the playoffs, number one. And number two, it exposed Nagy for having no confidence in his players.
Steven Zim Zimmerman in the chat room says that Nagy did enough yesterday alone to get fired. You agree with that?
He didn't do enough to get fired, but he's already lost, I guarantee you, some of the players on the offense in the locker room. And Nagy and Trubisky are sort of paired up, even though it was Pace's stupid pick. And I tried to tell everybody, you know what's amazing? When we moved up for Trubisky, I bitched and moaned about it, and there were people who have never seen Trubisky in college who went along with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, if you don't know the game, folks, and you don't know the players, with Watson and Mahomes in the back, with Watson and Mahomes and McCaffrey available to move up for Mitch Trubisky, I think Pace would be fired before Nagy, to be honest with you. But I know that coach usually goes with the general manager. Pace has had a bad run. The Jordan, and I'm happy for Montgomery yesterday. I want him to do it again. He basically reinstilled some confidence for you who had been with him and said that this guy could do it. We got to see it again. In the meantime, Jordan Howard ran for 100 yards yesterday. So we got rid of a back, and we used a draft pick that we didn't really need, in my opinion. Now, the offensive line did good, too. I think they opened up some holes. And the thing I liked about Montgomery, L, was that he was more patient, trying to figure out where his blockers were doing. So he wasn't ahead of the game. So I think maybe they'll get better. But Trubisky, I think it's getting late. I really do. He missed a couple easy passes yesterday. The weird thing about him is that the guy, near the end of the game, always decides to become the quarterback that we'd like him to become the first 3 quarters.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny that you bring up Trubisky, because Matt Nagy was asked about Trubisky, and Nagy said, you know, that he was impressed with the advances he made in this game yesterday. It wasn't flawless by any means. And then Hub Arkish asked him, do you make leeways for Trubisky given that he had only 13 starts in college? And Nagy said yes, but then he went on to say the following.
But at the same time, there's also an accountability. There's that balance of when is it time, and when do you want to start seeing, you know, that type of stuff. And I think we're getting close to that, and he knows that. When I say that, meaning like when there's opportunities to be made, we want to make those, and he wants to make them, but we just got to do it.
So it sounds to me, based on what he said there, is that leash is getting shorter and shorter and shorter with Trubisky. So my guess is that Trubisky really does have to show big-time improvement through the last, what do we have, 8-9 games left? Or if not, Ryan Pace is going to be shopping for a quarterback at the end of the season. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I want to say this to Nagy, and I mean this. If the Chargers' defensive backs or defensive players had hands, he would have thrown 4 interceptions yesterday, okay? there were four near interceptions, and none of them were converted. Okay? So that's one thing. Number two, the fact that you're giving a guy leeway in his second year in professional football is unbelievable. Well, he only started a little bit in college, so we'll keep him around. Like, we're playing for LSU. I mean, are you kidding me? I'm hearing from the coach. I just heard it. He's not completely a pro yet because he only played 13 games. Wasn't that my argument when we took him? And then I'm watching Deshaun Watson yesterday come back from behind again and perform miracles as he's being thrown all over the field.
Unbelievable.
So it's unbelievable what's going on with the Bear team this year. The defense, once again, gives up a big score after the Bears score. I can't figure that out, although they did play much, much better. I will say this, in the first half, it wasn't because the offense was on the field a lot. The Chargers were making some big yards, so I think everybody needs to improve. We're 3-4, but they're not going to the playoffs. I know that they think they still will. I'm not 12 years old anymore. We're not going to the playoffs.
A big problem for the team on the offensive side was the problems they had in the red zone. And yesterday, Trubisky was asked about the red zone missed opportunities. And he said something that I thought was kind of buried in a really long soundbite, but I caught the part that really interested me.
It can be a mentality thing where who wants it more? It's only 10 yards to go or wherever the ball's at in the red zone. But they definitely played well down there, and we got to find ways to punch it in, whether it's throwing it or just running it, getting closer, giving our guys opportunities to make plays.
It could be a mentality thing. Guys who want it more. Do you think he is saying that that his team isn't playing to 100% of their capability of having that will to win?
He sounds like a guy with no confidence.
Right.
That's what he sounds like. I mean, look how he sounded. Play that soundbite again. It's mumbling. Go on, play it just one more time. I would wish that we could find a soundbite from him from last year. You can understand him. He's clear. Yeah. They're having a great time. He's laughing. Him and Chase Daniels are getting in suits. They're posing at the airport in their suits. They're joking around. They're chugging beers up at the Hawks game with their Hawks jerseys on. Listen to him now.
Okay.
It can be a mentality thing where who wants it more? It's only 10 yards to go or wherever the ball's at in the red zone. But they definitely played well down there, and we got to find ways to punch it in, whether it's throwing it or just running it, getting closer, giving our guys opportunities to make plays. And I think just credit to them. When they got down there, they really played really tough defense.
He's definitely dejected. I mean, this is...
Oh, my God. I've seen Happier Crews at funeral. My God. I mean, you know, and the bottom line is he knows it's on him.
Yeah.
He knows it's on the offense. The defense is going to start bitching again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If they get that score, it never comes down to Pinero. You have like 12 cracks inside the end zone, and you can't... Inside the red zone, you cannot convert. See, I understand what Nagy's saying. We had it set up for the kick. It should never come to that.
Yeah.
They should have been up by 2 touchdowns.
That is very, very true. Very true. All right, let's see. What else do I got here regarding Chicago Bears? Oh, yeah, I saw something in the chat room here that I wanted to ask your opinion on. Who was it that said this? It was America's Team said that on ESPN, your other home, they had a poll question saying, would you trade Khalil Mack right now? Tomorrow's the trade deadline. Would you trade him right now for 2 number one draft picks? What do you say, Mike?
Yes.
Interesting. So
Go ahead, tell me why. He's only got 2 years left. They're not winning it this year. We don't know where Mitch is going to be next year. We're going to finish. Listen to this. We're going to finish where we have a good draft. We probably get a first-round pick next year, a first-round pick the year after. It depends who you trade them to. Would you trade them to contender? Then maybe not, because then you're not going to get that draft pick you really want.
Right.
But if you want to trade them somewhere else, look, I don't know. Has he played the last 3 weeks?
He has played football, but not the kind of football we expect from Khalil Mack.
No, I mean, okay, we got away with it for a year. And you know what? They're keying on him. There's no doubt he's being double teamed. He's got to contend with a lot of different things. They're trying to move him around. But his play the last 3 weeks has been unsatisfactory. He almost got a good one yesterday, got a batted ball. I know he's only one man. We need the rest of the guys. And don't forget, this is all happened. Akeem Hicks right now is saying to himself, this all happened when, you know, basically I got hurt. So they're missing some up the middle stuff. But when you run the ball like the Bears did, like Montgomery did, when you hit, you should win that game running away. Time of possession, they have found all sorts of ways to lose. Let's face it, it's just not working out like it did last year. Didn't it seem like last year everything they did worked? This year, it's not. By the way, is Eddie Jackson, when's he coming back from injury? You know, I feel like a jerk right now, like everybody else should, that we fell for him being the 33rd or 39th greatest Bear of all time after 1 year. I feel like a jerk to the other Bears that played all those years that didn't even get a vote, because this guy here's disappeared too. And it reminds me of Mark Carrier. He had 10 interceptions his rookie year with the Bears, and then after that, he fell off the shelf.
And did you hear
how many tackles did Eddie Jackson have yesterday? How many interceptions did he have?
Well, yeah, I don't think he's got an. Well, does he have one interception this season? But whatever, he's definitely not at the pace that he had last year.
I want to apologize to the former Bear players. Well, it's not me; it's the people that made up the list. I think Dan Pompey might have been that. You made that guy a top 40 player. Only after 1 year, everybody was out over their skis over this team last year. It's back to normal.
Now, Eddie Jackson is on his radio show, and he is chastising fans for booing and saying, we're not playing for those fans anymore. From now on, we're only playing for ourselves and the few loyal fans that we have. What do you say to Eddie Jackson?
Well, he's got to grow up. He's got to grow up. He's not used to being booed. He played for Alabama. I'll tell you what, in your next life, go play for Vanderbilt. You'll be conditioned to booing, okay? Bottom line is, you're playing for the Bears, and you should quit worrying about people that are booing and try to get a pick. You're supposed to be the greatest slot free safety since Reed, Ed Reed. Get a pick. Do something. I don't even hear his name. I'm looking for the guy. He's on the side of a milk carton, for God's sake. Come on. And that means everybody. It's not just Eddie. It's everybody. Everybody fell in love with this team last year. I get it. But then this year, Nagy acted like an assistant, and he let these guys with club dub, lollygag. How about this? Do you believe these starters didn't play 1 minute in the preseason?
Unbelievable.
Think about that. This team's not going to make the playoffs. And Nagy, once again, who's basically to me is gutless, was afraid to play his players because they're going to get hurt. Now he's afraid to pass the ball or run the ball to get in the field goal position. This guy wakes up at night, looks out the window. He must be afraid of everything.
America's team says, wow, fans that pay hundreds of dollars for a ticket can't boo? That's bullshit.
That's right. On a day, listen to this. On a day, we kill the number one terrorist leader with brave men and women banging through walls, charging in, shooting it out, having the courage to go and get that guy and kill him, we have a coach that's afraid to run 4 yards. I'm afraid. He sounded like, I got to be honest with you, he sounded like a pussy. He did. Yesterday and today, he sounds like a pussy. Sorry.
Hey, I found a soundbite from Mitch Trubisky last year. Let's take a listen.
I know I couldn't like a kid with anything on it.
Shut up.
That, of course, is
that's
Jerry.
Right.
That's Jerry Lewis.
The they're in the bed. They're doing bongs. They're cheering. Not bongs. Those big beard things. They were doing bongs. Maybe they should.
Yeah, right.
They were doing bongs. They were, you know, club dub, dancing with the disco. It's come back to bite them in the ass as bad as it can. Chicago's a cruel place if you don't win.
That was, of course.
And the Bears get the heat.
Yes,
the Cubs,
absolutely.
The Sox, the Hawks, the Bears are the ones people get the most pissed about. If the Bears lose, people get more pissed about the Bears than anybody else, because there's two teams in baseball the Blackhawks, they're a rumor. And you know, seriously, when you stop and think about it, and the Bulls have been dead for years. So the Bears are going to get the good things like last year, and they're going to get the bad things like this year.
Yep. All right, let's take a look at the NFC North Division. The Bears are now in last place, the result of those three straight losses. And the Green Bay Packers beat the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, and they are now 7-1, three games ahead of the Bears in the loss column. Looks to me like the NFC North Division title, which the Bears are the defending champions, they can kind of start polishing off that championship belt and get ready to hand it over to either the Packers or the Vikings. The Vikings are at 6-2. You agree with that?
Yeah, I'll give Aaron Rodgers all the credit in the world. I've never been enamored with the guy, but this year he's playing his best football.
Unbelievable.
With injuries and everything else. The new coach has made a difference. The difference between the new coach that they have and the new coach we have is that the new coach they have has Aaron Rodgers. And he's just been playing tremendous football. I'm not a big fan. I'm not a Green Bay guy. Never have liked him. I respected him. I respect Aaron Rodgers. He's playing great football. Their defense is playing pretty good. They got a lot of good hustle. They hustled to the ball. I watched them yesterday. They played a pretty tough team. They can be beat, Green Bay. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, man, right now, I was trying to figure out at the beginning of the year, I go, where are they going to get the 11 and 12 wins everybody's thinking about? Remember I said that?
Yes.
Well, guess what? They're going to get there. Looks like they may get the 12 wins. Bears have no shot.
Yeah.
They have no shot. Probably Detroit has no shot. None of them have a shot. They have to, one of these teams has to hope maybe for a wild card.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, Aaron Rodgers threw one of the prettiest touchdown passes yesterday at the beginning of the fourth quarter. He was under duress, threw the ball up, and everybody thought he was just throwing away, but instead it was a touchdown catch. And here was the radio call, Wayne Larrivee on the call.
Jamal Williams wide to the right, three receivers bunt to the left. Jimmy Graham slot right side, snap. Rodgers looking, pump fakes. Now, still looking under pressure, throws it right side of the end zone. Is it caught? It is caught in the back line of the end zone for a touchdown. A sensational play to Jamal Williams. My goodness, in the far right corner of the end zone.
It truly was a sensational throw and catch. It was really jaw-dropping when I saw it. And then Matt LaFleur talked about the team and their effort after the game.
Really proud of our effort, of our guys. Like I said, we got hit in the mouth a little bit after being up 14-0, down 17-14. But our guys, they're resilient, and they didn't quit. And we stuck together and found a way to pull it out. It was really encouraging at the end of the game when we needed to stop. Our defense came up big, and then our offense was able to close out in that 4 minutes. So, again, really proud of our guys' effort. You got to give the Chiefs a ton of credit.
Yeah, like you said, Mike, you know, you just have to take your hats off to the Green Bay Packers, that organization. They missed out on the playoffs the last two seasons. They're definitely headed there now unless some catastrophe happens. They've done a good job of retooling. They picked up some free agents at the defense position, and that really helped out their defense. And despite injuries to guys like Davante Adams, they're one of the best wide receivers in football, the offense continues to produce. And this new coach looks like he's the flavor of the year this year, right?
Yeah, he does. And as long as he's, you know what, there's no problems. They seem to be getting along. It always helps when you're winning. The thing I like is the front office doesn't meddle into the coaching situation, basically like the Bears have been known to do in the past. The whole thing to me is that Green Bay doesn't tolerate losing for very long. And I give them credit, all the credit in the world. I thought the Bears were going to be the diamond in that division. It's not going to happen. The Bears look like a one-trick pony right now.
They do. They unfortunately do.
You ask me, are they going to make the playoffs next year? I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I'd have to wait and see. I got to see what they're going to do. But, this looks – they look farther from a Super Bowl team than most people that – except for Cleveland. The two teams that were supposed to be in the Super Bowl, according to the meatball fans that go bet them, were the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago Bears. And that's not going to happen.
Mike, do you think, you said you would trade Khalil Mack for a couple of first-round picks. And I'm sure teams are probably calling Ryan Pace right now, and they're saying, hey, you got a big stable of receivers there. Is Allen Robinson available? Is Taylor Gabriel available? Is are some of these other wide receivers, the young wide receivers?
Who are some of the other wide receivers? Those are the only two guys that ever do anything.
Well, Anthony Miller is a promising receiver.
Yeah, he did come on. He did come on yesterday. He played better.
Yeah, he's starting to come on. And they've got these two young receivers from University of Georgia who had just not been getting playing time, but everybody loves. I mean, I saw these two guys at Bourbonnais, and I was super impressed. Riley Ridley, who was their third or fourth round draft pick this past season, and Javon Wims, the seventh rounder from 2 years ago. This guy, it looks like he should be starting, but he's not getting any looks on the offense. So, you know, do you maybe trade A-Rob and put Javon Wims in there and start building for the future?
Never. I love Robinson, and I was against him coming in a way, and I love him now. He's got good hands. He's been the only dependable guy. Taylor Gabriel played good yesterday. Those two guys, I think you could build. Let's not blame everybody else because Trubisky can't find the secondary receivers. He didn't look off once yesterday. I mean, what was scary is when Trubisky says, okay, this is the play. If it's supposed to go to a certain player like Shaheen, even if he's double teamed, he throws it. He never goes to a secondary guy. And what is the fascination about this Shaheen? Why is Nagy calling tight end plays in the red zone? Slants. What are you doing? I don't understand. It's just unbelievable. So I would keep the receivers. You asked me about Mick. Okay, how many points is he really going to produce for us? He did it last year for us. We said we didn't think that was going to happen 2 years in a row. Both you and I both said it wouldn't happen 2 years in a row. He got off to a great start. He's fallen off the shelf for the last 2-3 weeks. But, yeah, if we got 2 first-round picks, if you're trying to rebuild, it would shock the world. But the Bears got to do what all 9 contending teams do. Get rid of your most valuable pieces while they can still bring something.
They would, in essence, if they traded Khalil Mack, they would, in essence, say, we're going to draft a quarterback next season because we know the one that we got isn't working. I think that's the message they would be sending to the team. Plus, the players would be so distressed about losing Khalil that you probably end up losing the rest of their games this season, which already looks likely.
That would be a character issue. But they're losing with him in the lineup now.
Yes.
And I'm not blaming him.
Right.
I'm not blaming him. But he's the most valuable piece we got.
Uh-huh.
You asked me how to get 2 first-round picks, and you brought up Khalil Mack. So you must have thought about it, Elds.
Oh.
That's a good – you know. I mean, seriously, I wouldn't trade A-Rob. I got to be honest. I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't trade the receivers. It's not on them. I think it's the quarterback.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to say that –
Let me ask you something. You think if Allen Robinson was on Green Bay, or you think if Taylor Gabriel – was on Green Bay or maybe with Stafford in Detroit, their numbers would be out of this world.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. 100%. Yep. 100%.
So I'm not going to blame them. I'm going to blame the quarterback and the coach.
Yeah. I can't argue with you.
And by the way, the offensive line, kudos. You protected Trubisky yesterday. You had a runner run for a ton of yards. Good for you guys. I thought you did a pretty good job.
Yeah, they did. I was impressed with most of their play. There were still some mistakes and some issues, but definitely better than what we've seen in past weeks. The Packers, I just wanted to say, did they cover? They were -5. Yeah, they did cover, and the total was 48, so that game went over as opposed
over.
To, yeah, okay. And then
I had the Packers in the over last night on Vegas Scores and Odds. My losses yesterday, one of them was the Bears. I had the Bears yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Bears on, I went 2-2 on the odds couple. I had Denver, which was a great, great win. I had Philadelphia, but I had the Bears, and I lost the Cincinnati game by 1 point. Basically, I got 13 at the beginning of the week. They lost by 14. So I had a pretty good week. Carmen went 1-1. Carmen's mad, I think. Not because he went 1-1, although he wants to win. But he had the Nationals at 25-1, and they were up 2 games to none. And now they're down 3 games to 2.
That is wild. All right. In that Lions-Giants game, the Lions a winner 31-26. The Giants were getting 6.5 points there, so the Lions failed to cover.
Yep.
And the over, the game ended up over because it was 49 points, and so that game was over. Stafford threw for 342 yards Sunday. He had three touchdowns. That brings his interception, their touchdown total to 16 with just four interceptions. He is quietly having a excellent season. And the big play of the game was this trick play that gave him a comfortable lead in the fourth quarter. And they were talking about that yesterday, saying that the offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, is his first year with Detroit, that he, every week, introduces a trick play to coach Matt Patricia, and he looks at it once in practice. If it is successful, they put it in the playbook, and if it is not, they don't put it in the playbook, and this one was.
From the 41, on the toss, it goes back from McKissick to Stafford, and now he goes deep for Golladay, touchdown!
Yeah, but I think we went out there and did it in practice and looked terrible. We wouldn't do it, you know, but he had a lot of confidence in it because we executed it a couple times in practice. And same with, you know, the Green Bay play a couple weeks ago, looked good. So, you know, I just like that he's willing to try those things, put them in. If we execute them and they look good, then, you know, he has confidence to go out there just like any other play and call it during the game.
Matt Stafford is right now probably playing the best football of his career. He's matured. He doesn't throw the stupid passes anymore. And this Detroit Lions team, I still think that this team could make the playoffs. They just have exceeded my expectations. I thought that they were a last place team, and I know they just got out of the cellar in the NFC North, but I just am really impressed with the way they're playing.
Well, first of all, Matthew Stafford's done this for a long time, but you're right. He's also thrown stupid passes.
This year
he's not. Also, did you hear what he said?
Mm-hmm.
It's good that the coach has confidence in us,
right,
that he can bring these plays in.
Yep.
And I saw that play. Stafford almost got hit. He got rid of the ball just at the right time
right, on
the flea flicker. Just got rid of it. But I heard what he just said. And you know what? That means a lot to a player.
Uh-huh.
And Stafford has played for some bad Detroit teams. What I think is going to stop Detroit is the defense. I think if they don't win, it will be because of their defense, because Stafford's always been decent. In fact, at the beginning of the year, folks, I don't know if you listen to Bears Barroom Advantage or Vegas Scores Odds Advantage on a regular basis. You should. But I said that if Stafford was on the Cowboys, that I would rather have Stafford than the quarterback than Prescott. And I stick by that. I'd feel better. If we had Stafford in Chicago, I think the Bears would have a winning record. See, this is where it all goes back to the quarterback. Nagy can only call so many plays. And that's the problem. With Stafford, you got a seasoned, mature quarterback. And, you know, I don't know if the Bears think they can win with a novice quarterback like Trubisky with Rodgers, Stafford, and Cousins. It's going to be a long road to hoe. You got to have a good quarterback, which is why I would ask you, Eldo, do you bring Teddy Bridgewater in next year, or do you draft the quarterback and go back to the drawing board, maybe get that kid from LSU that looks good, or what do you do?
I like this upcoming class of quarterbacks, but unless you've got a pick at least in the middle of the first round, then most of them are going to be gone because quarterbacks are so overvalued.
Yep.
Guys that years ago, Mike, you and I would have said, oh, this guy's a good quarterback, but he's a second or third round draft pick. Now they're going in the first round because they're
right,
so overvalued. So because of that, if you don't trade for a first round draft pick, then I am definitely putting all my chips in Teddy Bridgewater. Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this. Yesterday, you said last week you brought up on Twitter that you said, why don't we try Chase? And everybody got on you, okay? I said yesterday, with 8 minutes left, bring in Chase. Nobody said a word to me in a negative way. So let me ask you this. Is Nagy that insecure that he's afraid to bring in a guy to try to win the football game, which I believe if they brought Chase Daniels in with 8 minutes left yesterday, we win that game. I believe that. I don't understand why you can't replace replace a starting pitcher, but you can't replace a starting quarterback who's having an off day. That doesn't mean you're not going to play him again next week. Mm-hmm. You just say Chase Daniel's going to be there for spot duty. And I think Chase Daniel, give him a couple, two or three drives yesterday, I think we won that football game. But he kept sticking with them. He stuck with Trubisky to the end. It almost worked. But see, Eldo, it didn't. And last year, that kick might, well, I'm not going to say the kick would have gone in last year, but last year, they're probably winning this game by 10 points because the defense got three, four turnovers. They don't have Hicks this year, and they're not getting the turnovers, although Fuller did have a beautiful interception.
I am with you 100% there. I got a comment here from Hart4803. He says,
I love her!
He's the best. He says, the division is passing the Chicago Bears up. Why?
Yep.
Because they have the worst quarterback in the division.
Mike, agreed.
Mike, you've said it before.
I said you can't be in there with Stafford, Cousins, and Rodgers with Mitch Trubisky. And hope that your defense can stop those guys on a continuous basis. Look, the defense didn't do bad yesterday. And in the but you know what? How long can you do that? Now, granted, then we get the lead, and they let them run a 70-yard drive. I don't understand what happens. It's like a letdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would also say this. If Nagy lasts another year or two, that's fine. If they end up winning, that's fine. But if they don't, is Pagano the next guy?
I would say, oh, boy.
Guy coached Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Had some success. Of course, he had Peyton Manning, and he's a defensive coach. I say no, but I really can't blame Nagy either. But they lost Vic Fangio, you know.
Right.
And so
well, that's
it's
a whole
sort of weird. It's just got a whole different feeling. Remember you and I were saying last week, this year's 3-3 does not seem like last year's 3-3.
Yep. Exactly.
Now, right?
This year's
3-3. God, are we on our game today, aren't we?
We are. I think we are. We got a great audience in the chat room. They seem to be enjoying what we're doing. I want to talk now about the Philadelphia Eagles. They're a big winner. They are, of course, the Bears' next opponent. They're a big winner on the road, 31-13. They covered. They were giving a point. They had a point on that game, and the over was 39.5, so that clearly was a payoff for people. Now, their running game was outstanding yesterday. You mentioned Jordan Howard. He ran for almost 100 yards. But then also rookie Miles Sanders, he scored on a 65-yard run. This is a highlight of that run. And then on the other side, you'll hear Doug Peterson talking about why the run game was so successful.
Sanders and Howard in the backfield from their own 35. Sanders bursting through. The rookie from Penn State.
You know, our offensive line is a very prideful group, and they want to run. They'd run the ball the whole game if you could. But they just did a great job up front. Jordan, ran extremely hard, and pleased with how we handled that today.
Every offensive line would love to run the ball every play. It's much more fun to put the hurt on somebody going forward than having to backpedal and protect the quarterback. But
that's a great point you bring up, because last week we got on the offensive line's rear end because they didn't play well. Well, how would you like the pass block for almost every play?
55 times a game. That's ridiculous.
I mean, seriously. Do you have any love for the Hogs up front? I mean, that's the run. They got a backpedal all game long.
Oh, my gosh.
Some monster trying to get to him. Run the ball once in a while. Give your guys a break. That guy's exactly right. And you know what? I'm not going to bemoan it. There was no reason to lose the guy. But Jordan Howard, they said yesterday, was the leader of the pack. He's given that running game, the inside between the tackles, that they've needed because they've had guys like Sproles and the guy that scored yesterday. They're all outside runners. What wears down the defense is what Montgomery did yesterday. Mm-hmm. Montgomery basically ran like Jordan Howard ran last year. Okay? So that's why Philadelphia, I think, is see, they got a guy that won't give up on the run. Peterson will run the ball even if they're down 10.
Right.
You got to have patience. Yesterday, Jordan Howard, 23 carries, 96 yards, 4.2 yards a carry. Sanders, 3 carries, 74 yards. Wentz, 8 carries, 35 yards. Listen to this, folks. Philadelphia, 41 carries. Listen to this. 218 yards on the ground.
Wow.
And 218 yards on the ground. And on top of that, Wentz throws for a touchdown and another 172 yards.
Oh, my goodness.
In the air. So we're playing them next week?
Yes.
And they're on a roll like that?
Yep.
We're done.
Exactly. That's my
and
fear.
And Jordan Howard's going to have his ears pinned back because he wants to get sweet revenge. Tariq Cohen's going to be tearing up on the sidelines because he misses them. It's going to be a mess.
And then here's the other thing that worries me about this Eagles team is that they had lost two straight road games to the Vikings and then the Cowboys. Now they come back and beat a tough...
But they're good teams. Those were two good teams.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the Bills are a good team. So they had that three-game road trip. They win the last game, and so now they're going to come home rejuvenated against a Bears team that has lost three in a row. I can't see how the Bears win this game. I can't. I'm
dejected.
Well, you
know what? I don't know what the line is. In fact, I'll look it up right now because I want to see out of curiosity. Are they at – I guess they're at Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, it's at Philadelphia. Johnny, while you look at that, I'll read some of the chat room stuff. Johnny Santucci says it'll be the 3-5.
I love the Tucci. I talked to him this morning.
Yes, did you?
Murph, right on Twitter.
Murph puts an emoji of a guy crying. So Murph doesn't feel any better than me. Zach Sullivan says TKO. So there's not a lot of great feelings going on about the Bears' chances against the Eagles next week. And it'll probably be Jordan Howard and Alshon Jeffrey all doing the Bears in. Isn't that going to be something?
Well, that's what hurts. You see that? I don't understand. You see players that you had gone, and it's been a Bear thing forever, and they perform other places for years. I just don't get it sometimes. I don't understand. I saw hell, I'll go back. They got rid of Wilbur Marshall. He goes to Washington. They win a Super Bowl. I mean, so I'm not new to this game. What we don't need is Bear ball washers. They're back. Oh, Mike, give him a little chance more. Oh, Mike, he's coming around. Do you read the nonsense that I read? Of course you do. Wanted to say we follow a lot of the same people. Do you read the nonsense? Oh, Mike, it's not just his fault. I don't give a rat's ass. This team is constructed. It's not constructed to win the North Division of the National Football League.
Yep. Kevin in the chat room says it's going to be the 7-9 Chicago Bears. And I right now I think they'd be lucky to win seven games because those two games against Detroit, which at the beginning of the season I thought were going to be sure Bears victories, I think those could be sure Bears losses right now because I think the Lions are better.
I can't say they're going to beat anybody. I'm not going to go out on a limb. I thought they'd kill San Diego. Excuse me, Los Angeles Chargers. I thought they'd kill them. And they had Rivers flustered early, and then, I mean, seriously.
Mike.
I mean, they should have never lost that game.
Mike.
To me, I looked at the box score this morning. If you didn't know the score, you would have swore the Bears won by 30.
Yep.
The Eagles are 5-point favorites.
Yep.
43.5 over and under.
Right. Mike, let's.
I mean, to be honest with you, first reaction, I would take the Bears. But I got to chart it. I just got it up now. This is for the November 3rd game.
Correct.
Right. 5-point underdogs. But you know what? I think they want to try because Philadelphia is only 4-4.
Correct.
The Bears are 3-4.
Well, I'll tell you this.
You got two even teams, so they're hoping. I think going on the road's good for them. I think this is a good thing for them right now. I don't know if, you know what, you go through the whole day of going down there watching them, and then they put out a stinky product like that. And, you know, then you have players saying they don't want to be booed. You got guys saying they're a dynasty. I mean, the whole thing, they're all over the place. They need their head coach to get them in the room. By the way, how'd that players only meeting go? How'd that go?
Not too good.
How the hell? You know what? I don't think Green Bay Packers ever held a players-only meeting with Lombardi because he would have cut them all. Okay? The fact that the Bears are holding a players-only meeting and they don't want their coaches around, that's not good, and then they lose on top of it.
Merv wants to know, does anyone have cleaner balls than Chicago sports?
Nobody. Nobody. Look, we're a team. We're a city that got rid of Mike Ditka, worst city that got rid of Joe Quenville, a three-time Stanley Cup winning champ. We're a team that got rid of a manager that's gone to the World Series twice, whether you like them or not, and hired Grandpa Rossi.
Well, okay? We're going to talk about that in a minute. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
You like Grandpa Rossi? I'm never going to call him David Ross. I like the guy, but I'm going to call him Grandpa Rossi.
Wait a minute.
Grandpa Rossi's coming out to the mound.
I got breaking news. This is Mike Ditka talking about the Chicago Bears and their chances next week.
We stink. We are absolutely an atrocious football team at this point right now. I doubt we have to play the rest of them, but there's no question in my mind that we will be fortunate to win one more game.
Ronstadt said the same thing. They've all said that. You know what? He was right that year. They never won another game.
I think
Jim Moore said the same thing.
Yes, you're right.
Nagy won't say because he doesn't know if they're capable of winning another game or not because he's never been a head coach that long. By the way, I mean, I've been hearing that I saw on Twitter, I think it might have been from you, Brad Childress. The problem is Nagy's calling the plays.
Yes, exactly.
They'll never give that up.
Exactly. They need to bring in Brad Childress, who's the special assistant. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what he does, but they need to have
him. It was a great tweet. It was a great treat, but I'd say Adeldo, the head coach calls the plays, man.
I know. He's got to stop.
Andy Reid called the plays for him, too, for the Chiefs. And once in a while, he'll give the play calling away to somebody else. Maybe you do that, but I don't think Nagy's that secure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he loves it. It's to him, he lives vicariously through Mitch Trubisky to be the quarterback. So because he can't be out on the football field throwing the passes, he's going to be on the sideline calling the passes. And I don't like that. I don't like to see my head coach buried in to his play call sheet, and he's not looking at what's going on in the field. He's not coaching
doesn't
the
see a thing.
Yeah,
doesn't see a thing.
Exactly.
Got that big menu, that Denny's menu in front of me. You know what they should do? You ever been to Lowry's?
Yes.
You know the menus are like a book.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's
appetite
right.
With the pages. That's the next thing you should do. Get away from the Denny's type menu. Go to the Lowry's type menu, you know, where you got the couple pages, prime ribs, and you got the wines and everything else. Because you're right, Aldo, great observation. He doesn't watch the game.
He doesn't. He doesn't know if a guy's tired. He doesn't know if the defender fell down and is limping so that he can pick on him because he's looking at his sheet. I don't like
that.
He
was looking at his sheet when the clock ticked down to 1 second. We almost didn't get the field goal.
I hear you. That's another
can
thing.
Can you imagine if
talking hour
can you
on.
Imagine if they didn't get that playoff?
Oh, my gosh. Then you fire him today, right?
They're not going to fire him.
Yeah.
They're not going to fire
you're
him.
You're right. They're not.
He is starting to remind me of Wani. I called him Matt Wani today. He's starting to remind me of Wani bad. Because didn't Wanstead and Giron all had one good year?
Yes.
Wanstead was coach of the year 1 year. Wani was coach of the year. Giron was coach of the year 1 year. And this goof is coach of the year.
What about Trestman? What about Trestman? He had like one good hour or so. Not even.
My God. Well, that was the guy, you know, when I hear other people, Steve Young goes, the Bears got a good one. I just shook my head. I can't even look at Steve Young anymore. I see him, I changed the channel.
I know, it's crazy. I don't know what he was thinking. All right, let's talk.
Because Trestman was with the 49ers
yeah.
when he was there. And you know what? He loves them. Shut the hell up. I'm tired of other people from other towns telling us who's going to be a good manager for us. I'll never forget Jim Leland. I used to crucify Gene Lamont, remember?
Oh, yes, I
Gene
remember
Lamont,
that.
I used to crucify this guy. You know what Jim Leland said when we got him?
Uh-huh, you had him
they got one of the best. They got a good man. Nobody else ever wanted to hire the guy. But Jim Leland says it, and all of a sudden, Jim Leland says he's good. No, he's not. You'll see.
You know what? These guys are good when you sit down next to them in a meeting room and they share some ideas. But as leaders of men, they are not good. Trestman, Lamont, and some of these other guys just don't know how to lead a locker room. And if you don't lead a locker room with these alpha males, you're doomed. You're just not going to make it. It's crazy.
There's only two guys that I've seen have command in Chicago of their locker rooms. From what I could see from the outside. One was Joe Quenville. okay?
Yep, absolutely.
He had three Stanley Cups, and guess what? Was any player going to lollygag around him? No. The other guy was Ditka for about a 4 or 5 year span.
Correct.
And he lost him. But he had command of that locker room.
Yep.
I don't think Wannstedt ever had command. I don't think Trestman had ever had command. I think Nagy will start to lose command of his locker room. Lamont never had command. Bevington never had command. Madden never had command. Madden was one of the guys, though. So only a couple coaches in my lifetime. Don Zimmer, I thought, had command. Maybe Jim Fry. I know Dallas Green had command when he was here for the Cubs. It didn't, you know, he became a better general manager. But in our time in Chicago, we've had a lot of Venturas. You know, we've had a lot of Wannstedts, Gerons. Think of all the bad coaches we've had. Abe Gibrons, just the Bears alone. You know, it's like a history lesson, isn't it, Aldo?
It really is. I've called you Professor North before, so we've got so much more to talk about, and so I'm
Let's
telling
go it.
Everybody.
I'm so good. Let's go.
Well, we will, but I am telling people, you got to tune in Wednesday because we're going to get more of some of what I have planned for today. We'll put it on Wednesday. I want to go to baseball now. David Ross, as you call him, Grandpa Rossi.
He's Grandpa Rossi. I'm going to get a shirt. Support Grandpa Rossi.
Well, he addressed that at today's press conference where he was introduced as the Cubs' 55th manager.
I know there's a big fun-loving Grandpa Rossi, you know, theme out there, but if you ask any of my friends or ex-players, you know, what kind of teammate I was, I didn't shy away from the tough conversations. I know there's a strong relationship with me and John Lester. If I would have been mic'd up for some of those conversations on the mound, it was not. They were rarely friendly conversations.
What do you think about that? Does he help dispel some of Grandpa Rossi moniker that he's got?
No. He's Grandpa Rossi. He would not. What did he tell to John Lester? Throw the ball over the plate, or otherwise I'm going to smack you? Come on. I like David Ross. You know what? Can I just say this? I love David Ross.
He's a good
I like
guy.
Him. I like the way he presented himself today.
Yeah.
I'm having fun with him. I want him to succeed. I think Cub fans deserve it. You know, I think this team needs somebody different. I just think he wasn't the right hire, but you know what? He did look managerial today. I think he practiced at home the way he sat at the sat at the table today. I watched how he had that stern look. Mm-hmm. Did you notice he didn't really have a happy-go-lucky look when he sat with Theo and Hoyer?
Right.
It was that stern, I'm the boss type of look, so maybe we'll see a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm concerned, I call him Grandpa Rossi because I love the nickname. I really do. You know, you forget about Pie Trainer. Forget about all the other Charlie Hustle. The coolest, the most odd nickname in baseball history is Grandpa Rossi.
That is really weird.
I hope he does good, don't you?
I absolutely. We want winning teams in Chicago, even if we hate them.
Yes. No, you know what's funny? I know if I met him, I'd love the guy. I'm not going to say he's not going to make it. Look, he came from nowhere. So did I.
Exactly.
So did you.
Yep.
So you know what? I want him to make it, man. I want the Cubs to win. I want the Sox to win, which is never going to happen. By the way, here we go again, real quick, because I know you got plans. We're going to do a 5-hour show if we keep this up.
I love it.
There's this guy. And he works for Comcast, CSN, NBC Chicago.
Okay.
They're starting the nonsense again.
Uh-oh.
This guy, Vinny, I think his name's Vinny Duber. I think he's, he works for.
I know the name,
Vinny
Duber.
He works for NBC Chicago.
Okay.
Which, sports, which is Reinsdorf Station.
Right.
Sox, logical place for J.D. Martinez. Here we go again. All off season. Here's the thing I would say to that young man. You're probably a great reporter, but you work for Jerry Reinsdorf's station.
Yep.
So when you put that out, I know who's telling you. Or somebody's telling you. He heard it on other things, on WEEI. Let me ask you something. We have like four DHs in first baseman already. Why would we go out and get an outfielder, DH, like J.D. Martinez, who's 32 years old, would cost us a bundle of money.
Exactly.
Okay? And only played the outfield in 30 games last year. We have Abreu. We have Robert. We have Jimenez. We need pitching. And you know what? This nonsense where they leak out, we're interested in a guy, like last year with Machado and Harper. Did we end up getting them?
Nope.
But what was in the papers all winter? because the White Sox feed this crap. Mm-hmm. And they feed it to the people at their station, and they use this as propaganda. What about the kid Vaughn down in Charlotte? Well, we're going to sign a 32, 33-year-old right fielder who doesn't even play right anymore?
That's right. You know what it is, Mike? I've not proven this, but I bet you that if I did the research, I could prove it. Is those reports come out just about the same time the season ticket holders are getting their invoices in the mail.
What a great point.
Yeah, I bet you that's what happens.
I'm looking for this thing right now because, here, J.D. Martinez, okay?
Uh-huh.
The bottom line is the guy's a great player. Don't get me wrong. Played 146 games last year. He had... he hit a ton of homers. He hit 36 with 105 RBIs. But isn't he the same guy as about five or six of our other guys?
I think so.
How do I delicately handle this? I'm not saying the kid may be wrong, the gentleman may be wrong, but because of who he works for,
exactly,
and it never pans out, you're suspicious.
That's a great, great point, you know. Mike, this has been one of our best shows.
I can't believe how fast it went.
Oh, my gosh. We've
been an hour and 10 minutes. I'm putting in for overtime.
Tell people where they should go for all of their betting needs.
VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Having a hot week. Went crazy on Sunday. Don't forget, we'll have three Vegas Scores and Odds picks coming up on Wednesdays. Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. Follow at VSAO. I think that basically when you see what we got there and you see the wins, it's got a tote board on the front page, got the free line, everything that you need, you will go for it. So enjoy that. It was a great, great show today. Well, I have picks up tonight. I have the NFL tonight. Boy, what a dog game this is. Pittsburgh and Miami. I have basketball up tonight and may have some NHL. So check it out. Don't forget the World Series games tomorrow, folks.
That's right. And I want to tease something to our followers. We're going to be talking after the NFL season. We'll be talking NBA here. We're going to cover it from A to Z. I've been doing my research. I got all my magazines, subscriptions. I'm going to be NBA literate.
Are you getting Hoops Magazine?
Yeah, I got Lindy's. I got Hoop Magazine. I got a couple of things. I'm enjoying it, getting back into basketball after being away for a couple of years. And I'm in love with some of these young players with the Bulls, and so I know I'm going to get harassed.
I like Kobe White. I love Kobe White.
Good?
I love Markkanen. Let's give Paxson and some credit. Those are two good picks so far.
They are.
I mean, they've had a lot of misses, but I like Kobe White a lot. The other night, they had a chance to win the game. I go, where's Kobe White?
Yes.
They take him out of the game.
I don't get it.
Because this guy Boylan scripts things. You got to be a coach. When you see that you got a guy taking over the game, you don't go, well, we said we were going to sit him at this time, and you go sit him. You change your plans during the middle of the game. I've done it a million times. What's wrong with these people? They have no coach for the most part. They got some good prospects. I think Chris Dunn has done a good job adapting the role coming off the bench. He's playing great D.
Yeah.
Just don't shoot as many threes.
Please.
You know, keep yourself steady, kid. I think you'll be all right. And we'll see what happens. I mean, but I am encouraged by a couple of their picks. Markkanen has had a 30-point game. So, you know what? Let's see what happens.
All right. And remember to follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter. It is at VSAO Sports.
And follow Aldo Gandia at Aldo Gandia Bears Power Room. Follow at Bears Power Room and North to North, N-O-R-T-H, number 2, N-O-R-T-H.
All right. Say goodbye, Mike.
So long, everybody.